Dutch water singer, hoff so kannst du.
We're hearing a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch folk tune, Ich und Du. And it may be a kind of theme song for Doug Maidenford and Chris LaRose and their band, The Broken Spokes. That's because, simple as it is, the song seems to reflect at its heart what Doug and Chris are so passionate about. Doug describes it as a prescription for how to live well, the tune. So much of that relates to bringing us all together through the music, and we'll hear how. I can sing Pennsylvania Dutch words, hope you can too. I want to sing with other people, sing I and you. That's the first verse. The chorus, oh, we're singing, sing I and you. Oh, we are clapping, clapping along. Another verse, I feel like a young horse in a field. How do you feel? Don't give the doctor any money. What are you giving? I don't go lazing around. Hope you don't either. I go to bed on time. Hope you do too. Oh, we're singing, sing I and you. Oh, we are clapping, clapping along. The third verse, I always do what I should. Hope you do too. When I'm mad, I don't swear. Hope you don't either. I really ate well today. Hope you did too. Lots of fun and joy. Hope you have that too. So it is a kind of prescription for how to live well. And again, so much relating to all of us coming together, especially through music. Sharing our culture as well. Doug will soon tell us that when they perform this tune in concert, it isn't long before folks in the audience are clapping. And there are even some who get up and dance. They dance some of the dances that are in their bones from an earlier time in their lives. Such a simple song, but Doug loves it for the way it connects people with their roots and for the way it introduces the rest of us to a rich tradition of music and culture, all part of Pennsylvania Dutch heritage. Douglas Maidenford is an award-winning author, musician, educator, translator, and podcaster who, with Chris LaRose, make up the band The Broken Spokes. We're invited to an evening of food, story, and song, to a concert with The Broken Spokes, performing American folk, Appalachian, old-timey, and blues songs, telling stories that go with those songs. This Saturday, March 22nd, at the Williamsport Scottish Rite. You can join them for dinner at 6:30 that evening and stay on for the music, or simply attend the concert alone at 7:30. We had a chance to speak by phone with Doug Maidenford about his Pennsylvania Dutch roots and the many ways he works to keep Pennsylvania Dutch traditions alive.
So I grew up in Berks County, down near Reading, just north of Reading, Pennsylvania, on a small farm. Very Pennsylvania Dutch background. So in that part of the state, there are a lot of people that are Pennsylvania Dutch that still speak the language that are not Amish or not Mennonite. And I was lucky enough to grow up in a family on both sides of my family where the language was still spoken, the food and the traditions were still enjoyed. And that really gave me a sense of absolute place. And, you know, music eventually would come into my life as I went through school. And then we would use music to help tell that story of America. It, all the different cultures that have affected the music of America.
Did you start with string instruments, or were you a piano or singer?
Actually, no. So it's pretty typical, you know, elementary school. They start elementary band programs, and I started out on saxophone and played saxophone for a couple years. And then my band teacher said, hey, would you be willing to learn some other instruments? Because we could use some people that could move to different places. So then I moved to brass when I was in high school and played euphonium, was in marching band, and singing had always been involved in choir and choruses. And when I got to college, I studied at Lock Haven University, and I kind of put the band instruments away because we had a really dynamic professor that ran the choral program at LHU, and I got very involved in that and sang all 4 years in college And then it wasn't until later, actually, till after I graduated college, that I started messing around with string instruments and came a second love of my life after singing.
It's wonderful to have been growing up with the sounds of other languages in your ears, but you didn't necessarily have to concentrate or major in it. Did you study German?
Yeah, actually, I was a German and history major at Lock Haven University. And then after graduating from college, I got into teaching. And I've been teaching German and social studies at the high school level for 24 years. I've also done adjunct German courses at Penn State, University Park, and both at their Altoona campus over the years. So yeah, German has always been the main professional avenue that I've had, as well as social studies.
If we skip around the internet, you're out there at the Kutztown Folk Festival and you're singing in Pennsylvania Dutch.
That is correct.
And you have an audience still to this day singing along with you. They know the tunes, don't they?
Yep, we like to breathe life into songs that people don't realize are sometimes 100, 200 years old. And that they can be fun and enjoyable. You know, some of the songs that we perform when we're at an event like the Kutztown Folk Festival, which is specific to the Pennsylvania Dutch culture, is some of these old songs that my grandparents' generation would have heard and sung as a child. And we bring back lots of memories for them to be able to sing these songs again that maybe they haven't sung in 50 years or so. And then they're able to expose their children and grandchildren to these old songs and these old traditions and just keep the culture and the language alive and passing it on to future generations.
How about dancing? Does dancing go along with some of the songs that you sing and perform?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Pennsylvania Dutch have a tradition of folk dancing. And there's not as many people that do it anymore, like the actual traditional barn-style dancing that we did and what we call hoedowning. It's still alive, but it's not as maybe not as prominent as it was 40, 50 years ago. But we play shows where some of the old-timers, certain songs that we play, they get up and they start doing traditional Pennsylvania Dutch dancing. And it's always great to see that because this is an art form that necessarily hasn't been passed on to my generation and to younger kids like it was years and years ago. So it's always great when you see these 80-year-old men jump out of their seat and get up and start what most people would consider like jigging or clogging. And to see this traditional style of dancing is always warms my heart that we're able to produce that joy that made that guy jump out of his seat and want to dance.
And you've recorded some of these, or a number of these, so that if we can't get to the Kutztown Folk Festival, we can still hear some of these tunes.
Yes, absolutely. We do have an album out that is a mix of English songs plus some Pennsylvania Dutch language songs. And then there's multiple videos that we have posted on our YouTube channel that anyone can hear as well or watch. And a lot of times on the YouTube channel, we'll give a little bit of background and history as to what these songs are, where they come from, what do they mean. And that's really, when we're looking at this concert at the Scottish Rite, that's the kind of show that we're going to be giving the audience. It's not just us playing music. It's us playing music, but it's also us telling the stories behind some of the songs and the styles of songs that we're going to be doing. We're only going to be doing like maybe two or three Pennsylvania Dutch language songs. The rest of the night is all in English. So no matter what your language ability is, you can enjoy the evening. And we'll be telling that story of folk music in America through the lens of all the different styles of folk songs that our country has produced. We'll be opening the night with Civil War era songs and some from like the mid-1800s, late-1800s. And then we have it broken down into we're doing some songs that are like old-style gospel songs that were really popular in the late-1800s and even into the early 1900s. You know, the type of music that the Carter family would have taken up and then started recording. Things like Will the Circle Be Unbroken? We'll be doing that at the concert, of course. We're going to be doing some songs that reflect how Celtic music influenced Appalachian music and how it influenced American folk music. We're going to be doing some old blues songs because you really can't tell the story of American music and, you know, you don't have rock and roll if you don't have blues. So we're going to be doing some early 1900s era blues songs as well. And then we're going to be doing some songs that reflect trains. There's a huge history of trains and train scenes in American folk music. So we're going to do some train songs. And then finally, we're going to close the night out with a series of songs that all deal with what we consider like work songs, songs that tell a story about some work aspect or some worker or something like, you know, like John Henry, the steel driving man, the guy battling the machine. And we are going to be including some of our own music, some originals as well, and some songs that we've been very blessed to have been awarded international awards for some of our songs. And we'll be performing them as well that evening, including a very special performance of a song that we discovered that's originally from the 1870s from the logging era boom. that the song actually mentions Williamsport in it, and we will be performing that song as well that evening, and I'm sure that the majority of the people sitting in that auditorium will have never heard that song before, and it tells a true story of the logging era and the logging boom industry of the late 1800s here in central Pennsylvania.
Where did you find it? How did it come to your attention?
So the guy that plays music with me, that's been performing with me, Chris LaRose, his father was a musician for 30-some years, and he spent a lot of his life throughout the 70s and 80s cataloging folk music. Predominantly, he really was concentrating on the music that he could find that dealt with north central Pennsylvania. He was very lucky that he lived long enough to meet some of these guys that were like the children of the original loggers, or he actually met some guys that had lived into their 90s who were loggers, and he interviewed them, and he wrote down their stories, and they talked about the songs that they would sing when they were out in the woods cutting down these trees. And we were very lucky that he documented all this stuff. And we came across the lyrics, and he taught us the melody that he was taught by these lumbermen when he was doing his research in the 1960s and 70s, and we've been able to bring this song back to life.
Tell us about Christopher and how you came together.
Well, it's a crazy story, actually. So Chris, very early on in my education, when I was teaching, my first or second year of teaching high school, he actually was a student of mine in my German program. And he took all 4 years of German with me. We actually traveled to Germany on a trip, you know. And the thing was that he grew up here in central Pennsylvania, but his dad, who I referenced earlier, is actually originally from the area where I grew up. And at one of our first parent-teacher conferences, we found this out. He knew exactly the farm that I grew up on. He knew some of my relatives. And he spoke, his dad grew up speaking Pennsylvania Dutch as well. So we had this instant connection. And when Chris graduated high school, at some point we said, hey, why don't we start jamming a little bit? And we met at his dad's house and we got the guitars out, the banjos, and we just started playing. And it clicked. It absolutely clicked. And that was, I don't know how long ago that was. It was 18, 19 years ago. And that started it all. And we've been playing music and doing the preservation of Pennsylvania Dutch stuff that we've been doing for the last, yeah, like I said, 18, 19 years. So that's how we got to know each other. It started as teacher-student. But now, my gosh, Chris is I would consider him one of my best friends. And we've been working together so long that, it's funny for me to think back of him as a ninth grader. And I was a first-year teacher in school because it just doesn't, that time is past, you know, and now we have 18 years of experience together working and singing and writing music and performing. And just a great friendship.
And why Broken Spokes?
That's a great question. So the other love that his dad and Chris and I share is a love of motorcycles. We all ride motorcycles. His dad was really big into fixing up old antique motorcycles. And one of the first nights we were just messing around on the instruments, we said, well, if we're going to do this, we got to have a name. And we're looking around. We were literally in his dad's garage where all these old motorcycles were. And I said, well, we share a love of motorcycles. Let's do something motorcycle themed. And we shot a couple names around and somehow, and I don't remember who said it or how it came up, but somebody said, why don't we do Broken Spokes? We're looking at these old motorcycles with the actual spoke wheels, you know, and I thought, it's perfect. We don't know who said it anymore, whose idea it was. But that's what we landed on, and it's stuck ever since.
Going back to the Pennsylvania Dutch traditions and culture, we sometimes talk to folks who remember those stories, the lore, the folklore, mm-hmm. kind of the spooky mm-hmm. things. Is that still something that people are keeping alive as well?
Yes, absolutely. And we're doing it in a lot of different ways. You know, we do it through music. I have friends of mine that are doing it through the continuation of our folk art ways and craft ways. Predominantly with in southeastern Pennsylvania, for anyone listening that's ever been in the Berks, Lehigh, Lebanon area, you will see barns painted with what are commonly referred to as hex signs, or in the language we call them barn stars. But these are a very unique form of art that are only found in that small corner of the United States. And those are traditions that come from our culture, that come from way back and from where we immigrated from in the Rhineland Valley of southwestern Germany and northern Switzerland, where the Pennsylvania Dutch originate. And, these traditions and the storytelling is absolutely still alive. And it's being, I honestly tell a lot of people this with the work that I do, it's experiencing a renaissance because of things like the internet and social media and sites like YouTube. We are able now to tell our story better than we've ever been able to tell our story as a culture. And we're able to do it and reach anybody in the world. And we have a lot of people that grew up Pennsylvania Dutch, or maybe they say, oh, my grandparents spoke this language, but they never taught me. Or, we ate certain foods. I never understood why we ate them. And they're finding our YouTube channel, or they're coming to a talk that we give or a performance that we give, and they're reconnecting to their own culture that maybe was lost for a generation or two. And there's a lot of excitement building among 20-something, 30-somethings that feel that they missed out on something because their grandparents or their parents didn't pass all of this knowledge or these traditions on to them. And now they're able to learn about it and reignite these traditions within their own families, which I think is such a powerful experience for anybody to have, sense of being able to connect to what they believe. You know, you talk about sense of place or sense of identity. We've been very blessed to be able to give and help people find that in their family tree, within their own family, and to bring this culture that they know they're part of, but they don't understand, you know, what does it mean to be Pennsylvania Dutch, or why do we eat pork and sauerkraut on New Year's, or what the heck is this Belschnickel that people talk about, and how does it apply to me as someone that is Pennsylvania Dutch? So we've been very blessed to be able to share our knowledge with anybody that wants that knowledge. And Chris and I always try to approach it in a humorous way and in a way that is approachable to anybody.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there a verse, the opening lines of a song in Pennsylvania Dutch that you might say for us so we can hear it and hear how it's different from what we might think?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, you can put me on the spot. That's perfectly fine. One song that no matter where we perform, whether we're performing at a microbrewery or we're performing at the Kutztown Folk Festival or anywhere we go, we always do a traditional Pennsylvania Dutch folk song called Ich und Du, which translates into Me and You. And it's a fun song. It's singing about all the things that you should do and the things that you shouldn't do in life in order to have a good life and a fun life. So we always perform this. It's a fun song. It always gets people clapping. It's one that gets people out of their chairs dancing if they know how to do the traditional dance or even just to get up and move around. And that song goes, I'll just give you the first couple lines. Ich kann deutsche Lieder singen, hoffst du kannst du, welle dann mit Anna singen, sing ich und du. And then it goes into the chorus. Oh, mir singe, sing ich und du. Oh, mir platsche, platsche, das du. So we'll be performing that on Saturday night, the 22nd. And hopefully, we always tell it, no matter if you understand it or not, you're going to have a good time listening to the song.
Now, tell us about your podcast.
I've been doing this YouTube channel now for 15 years, and we've been doing the music for more than that. And it was during COVID that I really started to think about, you know, what other things would I like to do? And I came across this idea of, well, why it was becoming easier and easier to do a podcast. And I love to talk to people. And I've always argued, and COVID, I think, brought this out in society, that we don't talk to each other like we used to. You know, I grew up spending a lot of time with my four grandparents. I never went to daycare. They raised me. Both my parents worked, so they would drop me off, me and my brother off at my grandparents' house. So I was raised, you know, I spent the formative years of my life with all four of my grandparents, which were children of the Depression, World War II generation. And I constantly was being drugged to their friends' houses or to church picnics. You know, I just saw as a kid growing up that they would sit and talk with each other, or someone would come visit on an afternoon and they'd put a pot of coffee on and my grandparents and these people would just sit and talk and tell stories, tell jokes, catch up on the news of the families. And that must have left a really lasting impression on me. And I feel that, you know, all too often we don't talk to people anymore because it's so much easier to just retreat to our own little bubble. And I figured if I have this opportunity and it's something I like to do, I'm gonna utilize it or try and utilize it. So I created the podcast Doug's Front Porch at the height of the lockdown, right after we locked down in 2020. And I started off by making a list of friends of mine and people that I know I love to talk to. And I just invited them. I said, hey, would you like to join me for an hour? We're just gonna have honest conversation as if we're sitting on the front porch on a summer evening just talking. Now, granted, I try to tailor my interviews so that they get the opportunity to tell their story, and it's worked out great. Our 100th episode will be coming out in June of 2025, and it's been an awesome opportunity. I've gotten to interview old friends, but I've also gotten to interview people with just fascinating stories, people that maybe I've gotten to know through work, or friend of a friend who I've heard earlier last year. I interviewed someone who I hadn't really known, but I knew a friend of theirs, and she had just completed the Camino del Santiago in Spain. She hiked the 500 miles or whatever it is, and she was an older woman, and that just fascinated me that what would have possessed someone to say, you know, I've never been into hiking or walking, but I'm going to go walk one of the longest trails that a human can do or whatever. And it was just a fascinating conversation because I always, no matter who I'm interviewing, whether I've known them my whole life or not, I always walk away from that hour-long conversation learning something, sometimes learning something about myself, just from their experiences and from them being able to tell their story.
Tell us how we find that and how we find your website or your music online so that everybody can prepare for your visit to the Scottish Rite for the concert and also just pick up with you and hang out with you on your porch.
Absolutely. So Doug's Front Porch drops the first of every month. The episode drops the first of every month. And that is available anywhere you get your podcasts from, whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts from, we're available. Just search Doug's Front Porch. And then I would also invite anyone that's out there listening to this that would be interested in learning more. Of course, we have our YouTube channel, PA Dutch 101, so Pennsylvania Dutch 101. But the vast majority of my videos there are all in English, but it's for people that want to learn more about our culture, our language, our history, our music, our art. And then we also are on all of the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and X. And you can either just search for PA Dutch 101 and you'll find us, and we'll be posting. We continually post there some great stuff, I think, bringing our culture and our language alive. And we're looking so forward to being able to tell some of these stories in Williamsport, of course, on the 22nd, but also just to have a fun night. We love to be up on stage and perform, and we love to make people happy and feel good. And that's our goal for that night. And we're also going to sneakily entertain them, but also educate them a little bit on some of these songs and tell the stories behind them.
Singer, hoff so kannst du, welle dann mit einer Singer sing ich und du. Ich bin froh und ich bin heilig, wie bist dann du? Ich geh recklen auf die Karte, hoff so tust du.
Doug Maidenford, an award-winning author, musician, educator, translator, and podcaster, who with Chris LaRose make up the band The Broken Spokes. We're invited to an evening of food, story, and song, to a concert with The Broken Spokes, performing American tunes, Appalachian old-timey and blues songs, telling stories that go with those songs as well. And that's this Saturday, March 22nd, at the Williamsport Scottish Rite, 348 Market Street in Williamsport. You can join them for dinner at 6:30 and then stay on for the music, or simply attend the concert alone, and that's at 7:30. We have a website for you, and that's Williamsport Scottish Rite, R-I-T-E, WilliamsportScottishRite.com for the evening with The Broken Spokes, and that's Saturday, March 22nd at the Williamsport Scottish Rite, 348 Market Street in Williamsport. Dinner at 6:30 or simply the concert at 7:30. And then there is the website Doug mentioned, and that's PADutch101.com. PADutch101.com.